Welcome to the How to Hide a Dead Body podcast. My name is Patrick Gilbert. I'm the COO at Adventure Media Group. This is a podcast where we talk about digital advertising, business consulting, and career growth. This is the last episode of the 2021 year or season, however we're tracking this. This has been an incredible year for us at Adventure Media Group. We've experienced a lot of growth, a lot of successes, a lot of interesting failures, but just from an experience standpoint, it's been different than any other year that we've had. Among the most significant of those milestones or things that we've taken away from this year is that we've officially expanded our geographic footprint into multiple offices. So this is one thing that we took out of the pandemic was that to do good work, we didn't all need to be in the same room all the time. So our main office is in New York on Long Island. We have about 20 people that are full-time here, and we still have a bit of a flexible hybrid schedule, but for the most part, the majority of the team is still here. Some of our team members are remote in Florida, in Europe, and a few other places. But I guess it's been, what, 6 or 7 months now that we now have an office in Philadelphia. And it's been an incredible experience just in figuring out all the logistics of what a second office would look like and how to staff and how to set up workflows and all these different things. And that's what we want to talk about today is what have we learned from that and what do we need to do better? So joining me today, we have Brendan Roach and Kelly McKibben, who are two of our team members here that are based in our Philadelphia office. I give them a lot of credit. They're basically the Lewis and Clark of Adventure Media Group for traveling out to Philly and figuring out what it would be like for us to have a second office out there. This all started at some point within the last year when Brendan, who was originally based in New York, was going to be moving to Philly. And the idea came up of saying, why don't we give this a shot? So we looked into co-working space and we found an awesome office right in Center City at Suburban Street Station. It's called Bond Collective. It's similar to like a WeWork. And we went for it. And for a little while, Brendan was sitting by himself in this dark, lonely office until we started to find some other team members that were going to join him out there. But I want to start with that. Brendan, when we first suggested this idea of saying, like, instead of you just going remote, how would you like to essentially become the manager of an office that doesn't exist yet? Because that certainly wasn't something you expected at the time. Like, what was that whole experience like?
I mean, it was pretty surprising. I think I've been with a company, a year and some change, probably when that happened.
Yeah, it was probably the 15-month mark.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty surprising. I thought it was really exciting. Personally, like, I have always loved Philly. So, like, I was really excited to come here and then to actually be presented with that opportunity. Like, this is really, it sparked my interest even further. I love the city.
At that time, though, yeah. I think this was right after we had signed a large client that you're going to be taking the lead on.
Yes.
So it was like, hey, hope all is well. Here's this huge new responsibility. And also this other huge new responsibility. So what was that like?
I mean, it was exciting and I was nervous at the same time. Like, I didn't know how this would shape up. I didn't know who would be joining me here in Philadelphia. Luckily, I had Kelly to join me a couple months later. I think overall I was a little bit nervous. There's such a distinct feeling coming into the New York office. And it's like, I don't know. I was really nervous about being able to replicate that. I think that in terms of everything that really happens on a day-to-day in New York, it's hard to explain it unless you're there. I'm sure even Kelly can attest to that. But there's a distinct energy that's felt in the office on a day-to-day, regardless. If somebody's not having a positive day, there's probably somebody else who's there to pick them up. And that kind of energy really flows through the office space.
I definitely hear that. And that was always a concern for us as well. And that's something we've been struggling with since the beginning of the pandemic. We have two team members that have since moved to a different state And we're planning on opening an office there now that we're figuring this out. But it's hard. And it's like, how do we replicate that sort of feeling where they are still a part of the team, or you are still a part of the team, and it's not just these separate people that are off in their own world. And that's certainly been a challenge, and I'm sure we'll dive into that. Kelly, you've been on the team for a little bit less than a year. And when we were interviewing you, you were coming from a different agency. Now, they were based in New York, or they were based in Chicago?
Based in New York, but I was working technically in the Chicago office, even though I was essentially permanently remote due to COVID, living in New Jersey at my parents'.
Right. Very, very weird situation.
Yeah.
So when we originally started talking, I think that you had intentions of working out of the New York office, right? That was the case. And then like during one of our earlier conversations, like it was like, oh, wait, we're actually about to open, like you're physically, like your parents live in New Jersey, which is right in between these two spots. Yeah. We're opening this office in Philly. Would you be into this? And you were like, oh yeah, that actually works great. We'd love to do that. So it kind of worked out. But what was so key here, and honestly so pivotal to the success, was that before you had officially moved, you worked out of New York for what, like 6 or 8 weeks, whatever it was. And I know that was really valuable, and I want to hear about that experience, but also like just as a testament to that, like you were bought into that concept from the very beginning of saying, this is going to be valuable and I'm totally on board. And I know that this is going to be scary and weird, and I hope I get along with this Brendan guy. But also like there was no easy commute. Like you were driving from what, Northern Jersey into Long Island every single day. Like that was not a simple thing. So I want to reiterate how much I appreciate that, but also like talk about that a little bit. Cause like that whole being here to learn, but also just kind of absorb some of the culture and what we're trying to do here. Like, what was that whole experience like?
Yeah. So, I mean, even though some mornings I was cursing myself on the commute, it really was worth it. Cause like, kind of as Brendan said, like I'd walk into the office, and you're always greeted with a, oh, hey Kelly, how's it going? You walked in and you just felt better. It could have been the worst traffic day. It could have been the easiest commute ever. It didn't matter. You walked in, you're going to be smiling. You knew somebody was going to make you laugh. And I think that was the most important part of the culture. Is I knew I was going to learn. I knew I was going to be excited to be there. So being in the office really did set that foundation of what I knew was going to be in Philly waiting for me, because Brendan was eager to have that again. So I was not worried about coming to Philly once I experienced the New York office and culture. So tried to bring that with me too, even though it was only about 8 weeks of being in New York. I think that that's also been the cool part of Philly, is Brendan and I got to take our experience of the New York culture. And yes, as much as we want to replicate it, like we want to have our own Philly culture too. So there's our office mixed with what everything that we learned and wanted to take out of Long Island and bring to here. So it's been a really great experience, but I would not trade my time in the New York office for anything.
What did you learn from both being remote first, like you joined fully remote? You were the first employee that we had ever had that had joined remote. What did you learn from that? And then what was different when we were back in person, and what was like, oh, I, like that was different than I expected.
I think that the main thing that I noticed, like when I walked into the office, was like the willingness for everybody to help. And like you had communicated this like during the onboarding process, that everybody has been in your shoes, everybody has been in a place where they're onboarding and learning. It's really difficult to like interpret that when you're remote, because you don't see everybody having, you know, connections on a daily basis. Like everybody there in the office is there to A, learn, even if they've been with a company for, you know, doesn't matter if they've been with the company for a year, 2 weeks, or 5 years, everybody's trying to learn, and everybody else is trying to help them learn.
One thing I would teach, and I'm also still learning myself, is to just say to somebody, it doesn't matter like if I'm bothering Brendan, because I'm not, just simply just rolling over to his desk and saying like, hey, can you help me with this? It's something that you just kind of literally echoing what Brendan just said, is like, that's the beauty of being in person. And I feel like the time that a lot of us had remote, like it felt like a weird boundary that you were crossing, but like taking advantage of being in person. I feel like that's something that I definitely lost and was like excited to regain when I joined Adventure, because I came from a full remote position. Like that was what drew me, was coming to an office and like getting over my fear of just like asking somebody to chat.
So just in terms of like getting up and running, like what worked? What did we screw up? What do we have to do better next time?
I think that the main thing is, like, once people, like Kelly, did start joining our office, it was like, how do we turn around and how do we make this feel like a, like an office, like a home? Like,
yeah.
Adventure Media.
It's naturally come over time. I know last week, like, we, the three of us, like, we went out, like, we invited some friends to go out with us. I think that's also been the hardest part, is like learning each other's communication style and like getting to feel comfortable with each other. You're not going to force it right away. So like, we did have like a first day, like when Richie started, like, oh, happy hour first day. But like, now it's gotten to the point where like, we actually like to do that. And like, it's not the same as New York. Like, if we go out, it's just somewhere after work, or go out to lunch, just three of us staring at each other, which is what we do in the office all day. So I think it's been cool. It's like introducing people that we like in the Philly area. It's like kind of branch our office out, even though it's work and play, just kind of mixing them a little bit more and getting outside of our like 9-to-5 role and getting to know each other a little bit. I think that that was difficult at first, but we're getting better at it, like, substantially.
That's actually, I didn't think about how impactful that could be, like the idea of meeting significant others or friends or whatever, just because like that gives you a different avenue of like things to talk about and be in each other's lives a little bit more than just like work stuff. Like, yeah, to your point, like, hey, like, let's grab a drink after work. And then you're like just talking about the same stuff you would have been talking about at work. Like, that's not good. Like, that's not, you know, the sort of thing that you want in a team. You want to be able to shoot the breeze about this or that. And that kind of a big part of the thing I want to talk to you guys about is just like overall culture and how to preserve that.
Like, I remember at the Dola, like, when we were talking and the videographer was there, he asked me like a corny question about like what drew me to Adventure Media. And I was like, it's the fact that everybody's family. And I think that has definitely carried in from New York, like even to like Florida remote here, because like people do want to know like, who is my family? Like, my friends are my family. My family is my family. Like, people actually care about that. And that's what I think makes the culture like so unique and so valuable, that like I never experienced before, but I'd been looking for and just like didn't know what it would be. But as soon as I experienced it, I was like, wow, this is cool, this is different. Because like, as Brendan said, like, work and life, it all does come full circle, and like, everybody actually cares about adventure.
What I think is important though is like addressing the fact that there's a lot of potential for, whether it be you guys or a different office or anyone that's working remote, to sort of feel alienated and not a part of the culture here. Which, like, yeah, you guys are dead to me because you're not here. No, I'm kidding. But like, there is that element of it, right? Like, there's, whether it be an inside joke or some sort of story that you're getting, whatever. Is there a way to remedy that? Or are there things that we're currently doing? Because, and I guess for anyone like listening that doesn't really know how our company operates, like, you guys aren't necessarily operating on your own. Like, we're all working on projects together all day, every day. You know, like, when we have someone join the company, it's like, hey, listen, like, we have people all over the place. Probably a day won't go by where you won't have FaceTime with people in 3 different states and multiple continents. So just kind of get used to that. So we are all a part of the same team here, but like, there's naturally this like weird geographic vibe. So like, what does work, and what might be a better way to make us all feel like one larger team as opposed to just like siloed individuals?
Really, I mean, from the onset, like, we have conversations with people in order to make them feel like a member of the team. We invite everybody to, it's like a joke that we have, but like, when we come onto the team, you're on like 14 calls a day that you kind of don't have any business being on, but the fact that you're on them gives you FaceTimes other people and starts to build up that comfortability. I think like the main thing is like, I would never want somebody joining our team to feel uncomfortable to say something in any situation, because it's probably more likely than not going to add value to the conversation. And like, I think we do a pretty good job of making people feel comfortable from the onset. Like, I remember one of my first days, I was brought onto a discovery call. I wasn't the lead account manager or anything, but I got to be a part of Avery and Ronnie's team. And like, they're two of the people who I would say I'm closest with in the office. And like, that just built up from really, I think it was day two on the job.
We've become a larger company, and that element of it is something that I definitely want to address before it comes a problem. Because when we were, say, 10 people, someone comes on board, it's easier to include them, and it's easier for them to come in and say, okay, well, I get it. Like, I know I should go to this person for this question, and I can ask that person, or just like, I'll literally yell and people will figure it out. But if, when you're a larger company, it's kind of harder to figure that out. So one thing that we literally just implemented today, because someone started today, is like a mentorship thing, a mentorship program. And we don't even know what the details of that are. But like, and I, of course, I was delayed on this. I forgot that this person was starting today. And last night I like texted Andrew and was like, listen, we're going to be doing this new thing. Like, I want you to be this new person's like mentor, just like the go-to person for, just like any questions or any, just like, you know, keep an eye out for them, make sure that they're comfortable, that they're adjusting, whatever. And he was like, yeah, love that. Can't wait. Awesome. But they like went out to lunch together earlier and he just like did that. And I was like, that's amazing. And I'm so glad that that's happening. Cause now that's a relationship that they have. That's not like being forced upon them. And it's not like this. And I don't know, as far as like being included in the group, like that's kind of the first step in that. And I think that's so important, especially as we expand to different areas.
Yeah. Even you just saying the word mentor, Patrick, like today I was on a call with Nahama and we just started chatting. She's like, no, this is how I would do it. I don't want to force it upon you. And I was like, no, you know, like this is what a mentorship is. Like, I was like, I'm not asking you to formally be my mentor, but like, that's the purpose of the mentorship. And like, for me and Nahama, like, it's just kind of formed over time. Cause like, we worked together in New York for a little bit and now I've been virtual, but today I was like, you're actually really challenging my thinking. Like, can we make this a more regular thing? Like, it just became a natural mentorship. Somebody who, like, I looked to and respected, but didn't think I'd get the opportunity to work so closely with, like, it just fell on our plate and I'm excited to make the most of it. So, like, I'm excited to see what's going to come of Andrew, like being the great mentor that he is. And then like with other new hires, like how we can mentor them even in our Philly office.
Definitely. Yeah. She's basically everyone's mentor and therapist and saving grace. So I think that all this will definitely become easier as well. Like as we add more people, like part of the problem too, is like now we have a few other people, or I guess really one other person that started working in the Philly office since then. And that person has not really spent any time in New York yet. So I think kind of translating that, our values and our way of thinking and our way of going about, like I said earlier, not taking ourselves too seriously, like all that stuff. That responsibility is now given to you guys. And I know that that's not an easy thing to replicate. Like it's certainly not an easy thing to do. I think it'll become easier as you add more people. And ideally we would have had more people start at the same time. I think that was something that was really valuable for me when I joined the company, is like, I didn't know what the hell was going on, but Ari was in the same boat and we were able to figure it out together. And we can kind of emulate our style off of one another. And I think like, that's really important. That's what we're going to try to do. So we're getting more serious about recruiting and hiring and things like that, specifically on the Philadelphia side. What I'm curious about, though, is like talking about the benefits of being in person and working with the, kind of the people that you're with and seeing how that differs from other things that translate across the entire company. Because obviously there's benefits to having a more diverse skill set. And it's not necessarily about experience or their status. It's just like a difference in opinion helps avoid groupthink and it helps people solve problems in a more sophisticated way. But like in your experience, like are there things that have been proven to be easier when it's say the three of you working together in the Philly office that you think may not have been as easy to solve if you had been virtual in any capacity?
In terms of like developing, I think that like if I'm working on an account, and in this example I'll use Richie, it's very easy for me to like work with him on an account and also teach him along with our process, right? The adventure media process. And I know that we've talked about processes and developing processes like across the account, but like in terms of the onboarding process, I know that's been something that you've been really diligently working on. I know that Nina and Daniel San have also been a part of that, right? Developing some content and developing actual course or course materials for that. But like in this industry, we really don't learn well unless you actually are taking that direct action. It's like the contextual component and then actually directly implementing. I think that's one of the benefits of like working, right? Not remotely. It's like, hey, I'm doing something. Come look over my shoulder. Let's do this together. Or do you want me to come and help you set up a keyword projection? Whatever that might be, I think that's really beneficial to be in office for, especially if you're working inside of a team in that same location.
I can think back to like when I was just starting out and I would see Isaac on the phone with a client and he would like not be fully prepared. And he would like jump on the call, be like, oh, wait, I'm like late for this call. I forgot that I had it, like jump on board. And he'd be able to like figure it out. And that was like just watching that. And it's really hard to describe because it's the sort of thing that you need to witness. And watching that is like, that's so impressive. But also, I think I could do that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like I've at some point, you know, working with people remote that I just joined the team that were working remotely. I had received feedback at one point of somebody saying, like, I think that this is very overwhelming because all these people on the team are very impressive because they were only seeing them on the finished product. Like they were only seeing them on client calls. They weren't mm-hmm. seeing, you know, the 5 minutes before when they had the head in their hands saying like, I don't know what the hell I'm about to do. Let's just do it live. And I think that element of it, of when you actually like witness somebody before, during and after, is like so important in terms of like culture and like figuring out how things are done.
Mm-hmm. And it opens the door for feedback. Like after one call, Brendan, I forget, he told me, he was like, your word is this. You said it like 80 times on the call. And the next time I like paid attention. But if we're remote, it seems scary for him to message me and say, hi, I have feedback from the call. Meanwhile, we can just hang up, rip out our headphones, and he can make a joke about it. It seems more relatable. And it seems like, yes, he wants to teach me, but he also is being my friend. It's not coming from a critical way. It's just coming from a, hey, I'm looking out for you way.
Yeah. Last week, a few of us had a meeting with a client in New Jersey. So we had a drive, and it was myself, Nechama, and Andrew in the car for an hour and a half beforehand. And we were like talking about the upcoming meeting, and it gave us like a really good opportunity to not just like prepare for the call or prepare for the meeting, but also like, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to be their opinion on this? Like, let's like play this prediction game. And then like, it's an opportunity to provide like real-time feedback, and maybe you should be thinking about this a little bit differently, or here's how I see it. And then afterwards in the drive home, like recognizing that we were all wrong and it went very well, right? Like this went very well. But be like, hey, listen, like this is how this could have been better. This is how, you know, we didn't see that coming. But I think that was that sort of thing, to your point, would have been really weird to do as like an official, let's do a debrief and let me give you critical feedback. It was just like, we're in traffic shooting the breeze about, hey, you know, maybe we could approach this differently. So yeah, I totally agree. The Philadelphia office has really been serving as a guinea pig for adventure media to be able to figure out how we can do this at scale. Next week, we're going to be looking at office space in the Fort Lauderdale area. That's kind of where we want to go next. But Philly was the next step because it's 3 hours from New York. So I spent some time there and I plan on being more diligent about this in the new year. You guys are going to come visit and it's going to be great. And I think we've identified that like for Richie, who's new, who started in Philly, like we want to get him a lot more exposure to the folks in New York and be able to spend some more time here. What has worked that we should continue to do as we look at other spaces? What should we do differently? Kelly, what do you think?
In terms of what we could do different, because I'll start with that first, I think it might help. Like if one or two people from the New York office are there on somebody's first day to just kind of give that extra element. I mean, maybe it was a little bit different when I started because it was just me and Brendan, like, awkwardly meeting each other face to face for the first time. And as he said earlier, like, see how tall each other is. Like, it was just kind of funny. But with Richie, like, we at least had that, I guess, banter with each other. And when I remember the day that you came to visit, it just added that extra element. It made us see it, yes, a little bit more professional, but in the sense of fun, this is how, this isn't just because it's just us here. This is how it is in New York. Like, this is how it was there, and just like continuing the culture down. So I think that would be really helpful on something that we can do differently.
When, like, I visit, is there like a specific type, like, does it really matter if we're working on something together? Or is it just like, hey, it's good to be around one another? And I guess maybe I shouldn't say that as if it's like nice to be around me, because it's not. It's very unpleasant. But like anybody, I guess, right? So like when someone that's enjoyable to be here, like let's say Nina went to go visit you guys. Should it be to collaborate on something specifically? Like, should time be carved out? Or does it really not make a difference? It's just like, hey, it's good to be here.
I would say it's just good to be there. Like, I'm like repeating what we said earlier. We just look at the three of each other all day. Like, it's nice to have that extra perspective that just comes organically because somebody was overhearing what we were talking about on a client that we worked together. It just gives some fresh perspectives. And even if it might not be like something that everybody's like, oh, I love paid social. It could be, oh, I saw this ad actually. It's a client that's similar, a brand that's similar to your client. Like, did you ever look at it? It's just a fun little added bonus of like, some other personality to add to our room.
Okay, I like that. What so aside from the things we should do different, what do you think has worked that we should try and replicate? Because also you have to recognize, like, the next office we open, like, you guys have been essential in this whole thing, right? Like, and there's a lot of great qualities that you have that have helped make this successful. What should we make sure that we do the next time we do it, knowing that you the two of you are not going to be a part of it?
I think, like, we were pretty good with the introductions. Like, I forget, on your first day, or was Richie's first day, spent probably a good hour and a half total just like talking, not about account work, not about anything. It's like introductions, past experience, where you're from. Yeah, I mean, like, it's like those weird icebreakers that are so uncomfortable and so awkward to put up with. But they move things along. It's like, okay, great. We established that you're from some college that I might or might not have heard about. You might have heard of somebody I might know. Like, that, all that awkwardness is out of the way. And then it's like, okay, like, who are you really? And like, once you can get to that point, I think that's just going to move the relationship further. Like, mm-hmm. I found out that Kelly has a weird 1990s vending machine at her house that caught on fire because her brother wanted one. Like, that's really cool information that doesn't have any benefit for us other than building a relationship. But I found that out in, like, the first week.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's news to me. That's super weird.
It is weird. But I think one other thing that we did really well is, like, I walked in on my first day and, like, I had a desk. Like, that was so cool. Like, coming in and being like, no, this is where you're going to sit. Like, these are the friends you're going to make. Like, I really like that. And I think that that's something that we did here with Richie. Like, I spent like 3 hours, like, creeping around the office, looking at other people's layouts, like, seeing how they best use their office space. So I think that's something that, like, we really did try to make the effort of like, how can we best sit in the office to make this new person in the best way, to just jump right in and giving them a seat that doesn't feel like, oh, you're just in a corner because this is the only desk that's open that's new. And that's even how I felt in New York. Like, I joked around, I had a seat in the fun pod. Like, you guys put me in a seat where I was going to best be able to chat and collaborate and just jump right in.
And on that point, I think that that's really important. And that's something that, even though, like, kind of last night, I sort of remembered that we had someone starting today, I did make sure that, like, their desk was set up and, like, clean and organized and, like, ready to go. And of course, like, cause that's always a thing. Someone's first day, they always show up early because they think that that's important. Meanwhile, it just, like, is more stressful because I know that they're going to get to the office before I do. But he came in and like knew where he was sitting. And that was a big deal. But one thing that you guys have also talked about that I think is really important is just like spending more time working in the same room. And like, I try and do that here, right? Like I try and make sure that my like door isn't closed all day. Or like whatever, like I spend as much time in different areas and pockets of the office as much as possible. Cause like, it's very important to like, not just be that worker drone. Right now you guys are sitting in one of the phone booths in this co-working space because we're trying to record, but like, I know you've been trying to make a more conscious effort to like spend more time. And like, as weird as that sounds, like it really makes a big difference. Would you agree?
Huge difference. On the days that we're all sitting there chit-chatting, like conversation just flows, and it does, I mean, as Brendan said, like opens the door for good conversation, but then also, you know, we're human. Like it makes us more approachable in those moments where we need each other.
Awesome. Well, you guys have been doing great work. It's been a huge success, and I'm really excited to see where this goes. And very happy to have you guys at the helm of what has been a very challenging but exciting next step in Adventure Media's growth. So thank you guys for that. And I appreciate you coming on. If you were to give advice as to where to hide a dead body, what would you guys say?
It's the second page of the search engine results page.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it. This has been the How to Hide a Dead Body podcast. Check us out at adventurepppc.com. We'll catch you next time.